All right, Friday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Hurricane's finally gone from the state of Florida. Be praying for everybody that's continuing to affect. Let me just say, hey, everybody in the chat. Mike Griffin, you're right there. Scooter 8887 is on. Veronica 18201 is on. Salty Gonads is on. The matriarch of the chat, Fedora the Explorer, is on. Wilbur's Bud 1 is on. Judy Juanita is on. Dave Souders is on. Volvo 960 is on. Jules 21 Hours is on. Why Not Me is on. Jeannie Malfeasy is on. Tammy L. Margritter is on. Jules 54 is on. Conservative Waffle is on. Tim L. T-Bird is on. Appreciate you guys so very, very much joining us right here on a Friday night. A lot of other things are going on. Appreciate you taking the time to be with us just for a little while. You know, I'm only going to do tonight's prediction. You can put your bets in the chat. I already got one. Why Not Me has 1026. It's not very confident in me, but you can go ahead and put your, I'm going 1011 again. I'm going 1011. You know, I came close to that earlier in the week at about, I think I did 1014.
Yeah.
Something like that. That was the closest I've ever came to one of my predictions. But anyway, so I'm going 1011, a little brief show. Lizzie 859's got 1018. All right, there we go. So there's the predictions coming out. Not a lot of faith in Brother Tommy or Veronica. 182 goes 1012. Nude Monk showing confidence in me. 1009. Scott a lot. 1035. Prayers works. 1016. Real Flash River. 1021. 1029 for Lisa Kinzer. Jeannie Malfeasy. Come on. 1032. Man, come on. It could happen. Could happen. It all depends. It all depends. And listen, I'm all fired up now. The hurricane's gone. Got nothing to think about. Looking at all these other, nobody has agreed with me yet. Nobody's put down 1011. Not one. Everybody's got afterwards. 1033 from Gloyd Shaw. Thank you so much. All right, so anyway, let's hop right to the border. I know it gets redundant talking about the border over and over again, but when new news comes out, this is big news. Most of you have already seen it, but I always have to make sure that, even though I'm pretty sure that everybody's already seen it, I got to make sure that people have seen it, because this is really the biggest news that I have seen coming out of the border in a long time. And it's not the biggest. I should say it ties with the 325,000 kids that were found out to be missing after DHS Alejandro Mayorkas said, glaring in a very positive way, that they had only lost 85,000 kids. That's what they considered to be palatable, until somebody actually looked into it and found out that we had actually, over the last 3.5 years, we've averaged losing about 100,000 kids per day, and now we're at about 325,000, and I've heard as high as 385,000. All right, here's a Colin Rugg video. Bill Malugin talking, one of the heroes. Make sure you follow him on social media. Just in new ICE report. So this is DHS. This is Department of Homeland Security. This is ICE. So new ICE report reveals that Biden-Harris administration has let in 425,000 illegal immigrants who are convicted criminals. Listen to all these stats. Don't worry if you miss any of them. I've got them all right here. Listen to these stats. Play for me, Naz.
Yeah, and Sandra, bear with me. We just got these numbers moments ago, but it's a jaw dropper, to say the least. So to set the stage here, let me just explain what these numbers mean. ICE has something called a non-detained docket. Essentially what that is it means migrants who were encountered by DHS but are no longer in federal custody. So who's on this non-detained docket? It's illegal immigrants who were caught and released at the border, released with the court date years away. They're in immigration proceedings, combined with illegal immigrants who have already been ordered, deported from the country by a judge, but are still here roaming the country. So keep that in mind, this non-detained docket. According to a letter that the acting director of ICE just sent to Texas Congressman Tony Gonzalez, on ICE's non-detained docket, they're currently tracking 425,000 non-citizens who have been convicted of a crime. Of that number, over 13,000 non-citizens have convictions for homicide and are on the non-detained docket, meaning they're roaming the country right now. On top of that, there are another 15,811 non-citizens convicted of sexual assault who are roaming the country right now on ICE's non-detained docket. It doesn't stop there. Those are convictions. The ICE director also says there are currently just under 1,900 non-citizens on the non-detained docket who have pending homicide charges who are roaming the country, and another 4,250 non-citizens who have pending sexual assault charges who are roaming the country on the non-detained docket. So people's eyes might be glazing over right now with all the numbers we just threw at you. Just to put it in a nutshell right here, what we've learned from the acting ICE director via this letter to Congressman Tony Gonzalez is right now there are over 13,000 illegal aliens convicted of homicide who are roaming the United States right now. There are another 15,811 illegal aliens roaming the country right now who have been convicted of sexual assault, and there are even more who are facing charges for homicide and charges for sexual assault. So this just goes to show, guys, the non-detained docket has exploded under the Biden administration to over, I believe it's 7.3 million. They're anticipating it could hit 8 million by the end of the year, but...
Don't worry, folks. I didn't get removed from the chat. That was just Aaron. Aaron has the ability to speak for me if I need him to, and he actually put a message on for me, but it was from him, so he took it off. So don't worry. There's no conspiracies. I'm not being removed from the chat, so Rumble's all good. So there's the numbers. Let me read you this now. This is also a Colin Rugg tweet, but these are the actual numbers. And this started off, Mark Cuban actually went on CNBC and said Kamala Harris was doing a great job. Doing a great job protecting the southern border. That's what Mark Cuban, I wonder who has hired him or what has he been promised in the new administration? Because he's going on the circuit right now, going to every mainstream media source he can go on and talk about how great Kamala Harris is. Can you imagine actually being in an interview and espousing that Kamala Harris has done a great job on the southern border with these statistics? And again, this is from Immigration, Customs, and Enforcement. This is from ICE. Here is illegal immigration. Again, Colin Rugg. By the numbers, under Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, 10 million, quote, recorded illegal entries in the United States. Most people believe it's around 17 million. But that's 10 million. Always remember what I tell you when it comes to CBP statistics. They are 1 to 5 times more than what is recorded because of both gotaways. And remember, gotaways are also sort of technically recorded because they've been recorded as a gotaway. So that's not, it's still, we have those that are recorded, then we have recorded gotaways, and then all the people that have flown across the southern border, that's actually a literal thing under the Biden administration, but those have crossed the southern border without anybody ever seeing them, which is, by the way, at least I would say about the same number. So you can basically double. Remember, it's always 1 to 5 times as many. So it's at least double what is recorded. So they've got it at 10 million. So it's around 20 million. Many people think it's 17 million. So 10 million recorded illegal entries in the United States. 425,000. Imagine accomplishing this in only 3.5 years and sleeping like a baby at night because they don't care about anybody. 425,431 convicted criminals released into the public. Imagine being convicted of a crime in Venezuela, convicted of a crime in Serbia, convicted of a crime in China, convicted of a crime in Mexico, whatever it may be, and border CBP knew it, Customs and Border Patrol knew it, DHS knew it, and release them into the country anyway. And then going home, as Alejandro Mayorkas does every night of his life, and sleeping like a baby at night. Can you imagine being such a soulless human being? Can you imagine being so devoid of conscience that you actually release 425,431 convicted criminals released into the public? And the people that you are in charge of, these are, and I don't mean in charge like commanding us, but like the people that you are charged over, 400,000 illegals have flown into the United States since January 2023. It's far higher than that. 320,325 actually missing migrant children. 15,811 illegals convicted of rape have been released into the public. So they're convicted in third world countries. So if you're convicted in a third world country, how horrible of a criminal are you really? I mean, because you can pretty much do whatever you want in a third world country. They were so bad in Venezuela that they were actually arrested. But can you imagine me and Kamala Harris being Alejandro Mayorkas, can you imagine being people like Joe Biden, and releasing 15,811 illegals convicted of rape into the country? And you don't even think, you don't think twice about it. You sleep like a baby at night. Can you imagine being that sort of human being? Can you imagine that? 13,000, basically 13,100 illegals convicted of homicide have been released into the public. So an all total, about 30,000 rapists and murders, about 10,000, get this, Aaron, 10,000 per year. Murderers and rapists have been released into the United States of America. They have no idea where they are, none whatsoever. By Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, the borders are released into the wind, and nobody has any idea who they are. Now, there's a big meaning behind all of this, of course, and that is the reason why they're flooding our country with illegals. And obviously, they don't care what kind of illegal. Tom, how dare you say it? I don't care what people think. Obviously, they don't care what kind of illegal that they're releasing in the country, because you've got 30,000, 10,000 per year murders and rapists released into our country with no vetting process. And here's the thing. They vetted them and knew that. They were sitting there at the border going, you were convicted of rape? Yes. Okay, you know what? You can report to Springfield, Ohio. We'll get you on a Biden flight. So one of the main reasons why, of course, they're doing it, maybe the main reason, is because they want to cheat in the election. So we brought in tonight, you can bring in our special guest, Aaron. For just a couple minutes, we're going to interview special guest from the United Sovereign Americans. And we have this border crisis because they're flooding America with illegals so they can vote in elections. So we brought in an election expert. Now, Harry, let me just give him your credentials for just a second so people kind of know who we're talking about. I wrote down a bunch of stuff. Harry, how do you pronounce your last name before I butcher it for the next 5-10 minutes?
Nope. Doesn't look like we have audio from him.
Okay. We're going to try to fix the audio, guys, in just a second. No audio at all?
No, I'm not getting anything from
okay.
him.
All right.
So we'll give him a second to work on that.
All right. Flip back. We'll just keep going. All right. I just wanted you to remember these stats right here. I've already said them ad nauseum. We'll get back to our guests in just a minute if Aaron gets it worked out. Gunther Eagleman, thank border czar Kamala Harris for allowing these criminals to come into our country. There are the numbers. Everybody screenshot this and send it to your favorite Kamala Harris supporter and ask her to explain why it is that she's allowed in 425,000 convicted criminals into our country. And then ask her and ask them how they're voting for somebody that has allowed in 30,000 rapists. And by the way, it's slightly edge on the rapists, a little more rapists than murderers. But 30,000 rapists and murderers into our country, 10,000 per year under the Biden administration. Have her explain that. Or have not Kamala Harris, we're obviously not going to be in contact with her. But have your leftist friend or Biden Harris supporter, Kamala Harris supporter, explain to you the virtue of doing this. I would love to know, because you and I get called names. We get called racist. We get called xenophobic. We all sorts of names, lacking compassion, whatever it may be. We get called all sorts of names. I want to know the virtue behind this. Tell me when you're at. And remember, these are the people. They're at the border. They're checking the boxes: convicted murderer, convicted rapist. And the Customs and Border Patrol under Alejandro Mayorkas and those guys, I'm not excusing their behavior because they should quit their jobs. They are following orders by releasing them into the country. 10,000 per year murders and rapists into our country. 10,000 per year. We wonder why we're having illegal migrant crime, a pandemic, an epidemic, whatever you might want to call it. We wonder why it is that we are having an illegal migrant crime wave. We wonder why? Because they're infusing 10,000 murderers and rapists into our country per year. And that's not even to mention the 425,000 convicts. These are people convicted of crimes released into our country in only 3.5 years. Can you imagine that? See, these are the earth-shattering numbers I was talking about in the title of the program tonight. All right, go to the next one for me, Ness. Now, you got to listen to this. Now, this is the I love Michael Schellenberger. Make sure that you follow him. Writer of things like Clinton Cash, great author, actual real journalist. No matter your politics, Michael Schellenberger tweet, no matter your politics, these new numbers are shocking, the numbers that we were just discussing. Of the 7 million migrants that ICE released, while the cases are being processed, 663,000 have criminal histories. wait a minute, I thought you said 425. Yeah, that's 425s that we know. Those are 425,000 people that have been convicted of crimes. 663,000 have criminal histories. 13,000 committed convicted of homicide. 16,000 of sexual assault. He has his number slightly higher. And 1845 face homicide charges. Go to the next one for me. So here's the thing. So you're always hearing, the media has insisted for years, Michael Schellenberger tweet, we got a three-parter here. The media has insisted for years that migrants commit fewer crimes than U.S. citizens. How many of us have heard that? We've heard it from Kamala Harris. We've heard it from DHS. We've heard it from ICE. We've heard it from CBP. We've heard it from the Biden administration. And we've heard it from the media. The media, of course, as the agitprop for the Democratic Party, for the Goebbels media for the Democratic Party, the Pravda Mockingbird media for the Democratic Party, they're always parroting the points that are sent to them by the Democratic Party. So the media has insisted for years that migrants commit fewer crimes than U.S. citizens. The new data show that these claims are almost certainly wrong. Listen to these numbers. So again, everything that you and I are told is a lie from our government. If you hear something, I heard this from Dan Bongino today. I don't know if it was yesterday's show or today's show because I listened to both today because of the hurricane yesterday. I didn't have time to listen to it. But everything that you're hearing from the federal government is a lie. Just assume right off the bat that it's a lie. Because and of course, whatever the media is saying, they're just parroting the lies of the federal government. There are 20,000 homicides annually in the United States and a homicide conviction rate of 60%, which equals 12,000 homicide convictions per year. And I'm not gonna launch off into this, and I don't want to digress too far into it. But imagine saying, if you are a leftist Democratic Party politician and you espouse that guns are the problem, 12,000 homicide convictions per year in comparison to 1.2 million abortions a year. I always do this to them and I never get a response. Maybe it's just because they don't want to fight on Twitter, but I don't get a response ever. But I always send them whenever they say the number one cause of death for children is firearms. Really? Number one cause of death for children is firearms. And there's only 12,000 homicides per year in a country of 350 million people. You're like, Tom, it's 320. No, 320 is 2006, folks. Stop parroting their lies. Joe Biden has brought in 17 million people. You still think we're 320 million people living in this country? No, we're 350 to 400 million live in this country. And I find it, whenever you look at the actual numbers, it dispels everything they espouse, everything. How can when you have a total, and this includes all adults, a total of 12,000 homicides a year, then how can guns be the number one cause of deaths among kids? And Aaron already found out what it was. It was traffic crashes, right, Aaron? Was that number one? And I think drowning was number two, something along those lines.
Yep.
So guns have nothing to do with it. And by the way, those numbers that they use these convoluted numbers that count everybody from 19 under. So most of those homicides, quote unquote homicides, are 17 to 19 year olds who've committed suicide. Are we good again?
Yep.
All right. Here we go. Let's break in. Let's get in here. And Harry, are you with us?
I'm here.
There we are. Gotcha. Cool. Hey, now, how do I pronounce your last name so I don't pronounce it wrong? Is he getting to hear us?
Yep.
Harry, are you hearing me?
I can hear you.
It's just delayed.
Okay.
I do.
Okay. How do you pronounce your last name?
Howry.
Howry. Okay, I want to make sure I got it right. All right, Harry is from the United Sovereign Americans. Got nothing to do with sovereign citizens, folks. Totally different. And their acronym is perfect, USA. Now, I'm going to do a lengthy little, especially since we're a little delayed here, I'm going to do kind of a lengthy introduction so everybody knows who you are, and then I'm going to let you just roll with your efforts and the things that you're about. Basically, what Harry is all about from the United Sovereign Americans is voter integrity. Voter integrity. He's a software developer, primarily cybersecurity software, employed. Listen to this resume. Employed by the NSA, CIA, DIA, and I skipped some, DOD, DHS, DOJ, and many international finance companies, including American Express, Visa, MasterCard, 16 out of the 25 largest United States banks. Redesigned election control and workflow for the St. Louis County and for St. Louis, Missouri. Frequently held top secret clearances. Here's one thing I just had to read. This is so impressive to me. Harry is an expert in operational operations research, reliable communications, workflow automation, information assurance, cybersecurity, and distributed trust and workflow systems, including but not limited to election systems. Mr. Hari has functioned as a systems architect, designing and consulting onto integrated public alert and warning systems, revisions to the permissive action link in the nuclear command and control network, continuity of government communications, White House communication systems, various information fusion and gathering systems, and information warfare, C4ISR, as well as other systems. He has also designed a number of systems capable of securely routing and managing 30 billion workflow object transactions per hour. So, impressive resume. All right, so Harry, tell us about the United Sovereign Americans, what you guys are all about, and what you're doing right now as we approach this election in only, I believe, 39 days. Go ahead.
So I apologize for the network problems we were having here, but basically United Sovereign Americans was founded based on a variety of findings from 2020 election on that were reinforced by what we found in 2022. And basically we approached the problem from the beginning as a data analytics and evidence issue, because we can all yell and scream about what we believe, but if we don't have court-worthy evidence, we fall flat with our, you know, counter narratives that are out there that are quite strong and powerful with the mainstream media. So, based on the work I did in 2020 and work that Marley Hornick was doing in New York Citizens Audit, we formed United Sovereign Americans for the express purpose of dealing with the defects that we've determined are rampant and widespread throughout the election system. So we currently have a data analytics job that we've done to show problems with the voter registration system, problems with the mechanism of controlling who's allowed to vote, problems with the reconciliation of the number of votes and voters, all amounting basically to a system that's highly inaccurate. Undoubtedly, some of this is just, you know, machine error or clerical error, but it's also clearly indicated that there's significant malicious activity as well. So we focus on basically three principal items: the votes, the voters, and the veracity or validity of the count. If you look at the puzzle of how we do elections, there are really only three components: the people that are allowed to cast ballots, the actual ballots, and the counting system. And what we've achieved over the last couple of decades is a system that's totally opaque, error-ridden, and completely unreliable. So we've analyzed 20 states, many of the bigger ones: Texas, Florida, New York, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Ohio, California, and it's sad to say, but they all have significant problems. Now, some states are starting to clean up significant problems in their voter rolls, but there's an underlying issue that's much more ominous, and that's how did all these fake or unverifiable registrations get into the system in the first place? Why do we have 150-year-old voters voting? These types of things are very obviously problematic. And then in addition to the votes and voters and the counts, as we call it, the tallies, we have problems with the chain of custody. We've got an opaque system that's unprovable with regard to mail-in ballots. We have an opaque system with regard to election systems that we can't even look under the covers to determine if they're accurate, whether they have any kind of malware in them at all. Under contract, we actually have the insane practice where states are signing contracts that disallow us to look inside the machines. So they're actually overruling federal law with state contracts, which is a preposterous situation indeed. What we've started doing is filing lawsuits. We're in six states so far, oriented toward what's called mandamus and insistence that they follow the law. we knew from the beginning that this would be, you know, ignored, but we're trying to establish clear standing that we've exhausted administrative and legal recourse with regard to getting a resolution so that we'll have standing, if not right before the 2024 election, right after the 2024 election. Our purpose is not to disrupt the elections. Our purpose is to force the officials to actually obey the law, which they are not doing currently. This goes all the way from individual poll workers that are ignorant of what the law actually is to inexplicable behavior by senior executives in the election chain, that we all have suspicions about what might be happening. But the fact is we don't need proof. Under COI in 1888, it's determined that elections, because of the separation of the ballots and the voters, would always be intractably opaque. So you had to have a system that was completely pristine in its conduct. And if the government officials that are responsible for running the elections do not pay attention to running an election that obeys the law and follows the procedures and policies that are applicable, they're actually guilty of election fraud. Now, we don't want to go out prosecuting people and, you know, all these types of things. What we want them to do is have fair, open, and honest and valid elections that are provable. So we basically are oriented toward just demonstrating widespread issues. And frankly, every state we look at has problems. Some are much worse than others. We have significant issues with Illinois, New York, and California. But there are also problems in Ohio and in Texas and whatnot that need to be addressed. Now we're seeing, states like Oklahoma as an example, and North Carolina here just recently starting to go through the data and trying to clean things up. But the procedures and policies are not working, or those millions of illegal registrations wouldn't be out there. Across the 20 states, we found 29 million registrations that do not obey the law. We found that of those registered 29 million voters, 10 million actually voted, which by definition under DOJ's own guidelines is proof of 10 million instances of election fraud. Now, again, some of these are clerical errors and whatnot. They're not all malicious, but the fact of the matter is no one's paying attention. It's like the barn door is open, the livestock is gone, and everybody's shrugging their shoulders wondering where the horses went. So the fact of the matter is we need to change this across the whole country, and we're looking for help. I mean, we're trying to work with AGs across the country that are willing to make their own people obey the law and looking to force other states to obey the law. There are several principles under law which would argue that we have a basis for, restraining their current behavior, not the least of which is they're not obeying the law and they're denying our civil rights to a fair election. Most people don't realize it, but the only civil right that's actually in the body of the Constitution is the right to vote for your and choose your representatives. And it's been determined over many years of precedents that injecting votes that aren't supposed to be there and not counting votes that are supposed to be there are both illegal. And now we're relying on the mail-in system where we don't even know who voted or whether or not the people that voted are having their votes counted. So our objective is to stop this nonsense and return to something that's controllable and provable, and that we're able to make sure that we have representatives in government, whether it's the president or the House or the senators, that actually represent the will of the people. After all, that's why we call ourselves United Sovereign Americans. The people are sovereign over the United States, not the government. Yep. And we intend to, you know, point that out in the coming weeks. We hope we can get most of it in place before the 2024 election. But from a practical standpoint, we believe we'll have to be fighting all of this for months after the election as well. It's been a slog. It's expensive. We're a volunteer group. None of our principals are paid anything, but we do have to pay our lawyers and various infrastructure costs. And so our biggest challenge at this time is raising the funds to continue the fight. We've made great progress. We've changed the narrative across the country. A few months ago, people were talking about 10,000 vote voter corrections in the books, and now people are starting to look at it more holistically. They're not quite up to our number of 29 million yet, but they're getting close, and they just weren't doing that before. So, and people are talking about validity of the election and, you know, voter fraud. Most people don't understand voter fraud is completely different than any other concept of fraud, contract fraud, SEC fraud, you know, financial fraud. It's not the same thing. Election fraud is a very specific criminal activity, and we have millions and millions of examples of it. The most inexplicable number in 2022 is that there are 2 million more votes in the system across these 20 states than the number of voters that are registered to have voted. This discrepancy is extremely troublesome. It's basically like no one's even bothering to balance the checkbook. So we literally as a country have to stop this if we're not going to slide into arbitrary choosing by election officials who happen to win the election. The
people can you actually imagine being somebody on the Democratic side and you have 2 million more people vote, and it was more than that in the 2020 election. 2 million more people voted than are registered to vote, and then the people on the left side of politics, people come out, Democratic Party, they come out and say, well, no, it was just a big year. Well, it is absolutely impossible to have more people vote than are registered to vote, because it takes 30 days prior to the election to register. So it's actually impossible, but you'll still have people devoid of all integrity and human dignity going out and just saying, you know what? Yeah, we know millions more voted than were registered to vote because it was just a giant turnout. People actually come out and say that, and it's actually statistically, numerically impossible for that to happen. Harry, one thing, just can you either, I want you to kind of merge these two subjects real quick. Can you give us some of your most salacious details that you found out, either numbers or give us a few details of some of the lawsuits, 6 lawsuits that you're involved in, some of the biggest discoveries that you found, where you just name, like, the stuff that fascinates me are the specifics, like the 2 million more registered, 2 million more votes than registered vote. Just give me some of the details you found out. And just so everybody knows that this is big time frontline stuff right now. This is frontline stuff. This is where it's actually the rubber meets the road, is in these lawsuits. And this is where it's going to be too big to rig. Okay. I mean, we can't just chant it's too big to rig. We have to have people like Harry on the front lines doing these things, or we're going to lose. I mean, because it doesn't matter how many of us vote, it's who counts the vote. So just give me some of your most outlandish statistics that you found out, and maybe mix in some of these lawsuit details.
So a group in New York Citizens Audit found an algorithm injecting voters into the system. They applied the same technique to New Jersey and a couple of other states, Ohio, and were finding the same thing. So what is putting these registrations out there that don't belong out there? We've done testing on the voters that voted, and we found massive numbers of people that are voting that can't be found anywhere in commercial or public databases. How big the problem is, it's a very intractable problem, in the sense that, you know, proving the negative is difficult. But we've done a superlative job of going after trying to figure out whether people are in the system that shouldn't be and they're actually voting. And we found massive numbers that would indicate millions and millions of voters are voting that should never have been allowed to vote. Now, actually, we believe everybody should be allowed to vote, but if you don't have a proper registration, it's supposed to go into a provisional status, and then the states are supposed to resolve that provisional status. But over and over again, what happens is the states just ignore it until the very last moment, and then they appeal to the Supreme Court when people like us are fighting counting those votes without the resolution of the provisional status. And so what we have is judges just saying, well, it's a terrible shame to disenfranchise people. But when you enfranchise an illegal vote, you're disenfranchising people too. You're diluting them. So we also have people in our organization that were involved in the investigation of the Connick matter. We have proof that the CCP is in the middle of pieces of our database. That doesn't mean that they're interfering. Doesn't mean that they're hacking our systems they were actually permitted in. Yeah, but it does mean they have access to critical voter and election information that they should never have access to. We also have issues with regard to the observations in 2020 when we're doing the election. As an example, Bethpage, New York was a completely reasonable suspicion that something terrible was going on in Pennsylvania and in New York, and we know for a fact that the Department of Justice suppressed this. But we don't talk about these anecdotal, salacious issues around the edges because we can prove that we don't know who is voting. We don't know whether the votes are counted from people that are allowed to vote, and then they don't even bother balancing the checkbook, so we end up with millions of votes in the system that shouldn't even be there. This is enough that the system needs to be stopped. And frankly, the easiest way to do it is to create a system that's auditable from end to end so that you reconcile votes and voters, status of the voters, and the accuracy of the counts. And this is probably the most important thing we do as a country is to vote, and we don't even apply common practices for auditing. So we propose not just to make sure that we know who's voting, make sure that the votes and the voters reconcile, but also make sure we have at the end the ability to prove that the election results are as they said they are. And so if we can get to those states, we put a spike in the nonsense that's going on all across the country at the current time. So,
well, what, you know, you know, what they do
is there's other salacious things we can talk about, but that's a different issue.
Now, what you, one of the things you said there is extremely poignant out of the many poignant things that you said, but you have 29 million unlawful registrations, and what they do is flood the zone with all of these illegal votes and then claim there's not enough time to adjudicate the vote prior to the certification of the vote. This is what they're doing time after time now. Yeah, so then, and then they always claim that, you know, whenever whenever a lawsuit is brought, that whoever brings it lacks standing because the judges don't want to be, basically judges don't want to be called names by either party, but namely the Democratic Party. And that's really what happens, is that they know it's going to be there's going to be mass fraud, but not time enough to adjudicate the fraud. So they just go ahead and certify it, i.e. Brad Raffensperger in the state of Georgia in 2020. That's the game that they played there, of course. But anyway, just close. Hey, Harry, closing thoughts.
I just testified in Georgia at the State Board of Elections last week about the need to reconcile the count of ballots according to the number of ballots they actually received.
Oh, yeah. So now the stuff coming out of Fulton County is unbelievable. Hey, Harry, just some closing thoughts from me. Can you tell everybody once again your organization name and how they can support you?
We are United Sovereign Americans. You can find us on the web at unite4freedom.com. So just go out, and we need volunteers. We need your time and treasure. These lawsuits are extremely expensive. We've done millions and millions of dollars of work for free because we're all dedicated patriot volunteers, and we want honest elections. You want to help us? We need your time. And if you can afford it, we need your treasure. It's simple as that.
Harry, thank you so much for joining us tonight. And you are on the front lines. We appreciate all the organizations like you. Without you, we're not going to win elections. It's as simple as that, because it's so corrupt now that it's not a matter of how many votes we can get. It doesn't matter who's the most popular candidate. It matters who's counting the vote. Appreciate you so much. Everybody go and support United Sovereign Americans. Thank you so much, Harry. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right, so back to everything. There you go. Now this is why we need to talk about the border, you know, just, you know, more than anything. And you know, it's bad enough the crime, and then we also have our elections stolen from us. I mean, have you heard some of the statistics that Harry put out there? 29 million unlawful registrations. I wonder where they're coming from. Well, you just had the state of Texas purge 1 million people off their voter rolls, hundreds of thousands From Glenn Youngkin in the state of Virginia, purge. He said other states that are starting to wake up, states like Oklahoma, Alabama has purged thousands off their voter rolls. How does it ever get that? Ever get to that place? Just extreme neglect and, of course, malfeasance and corruption. That's how it gets to that place. And the reason why Biden and Harris are allowing 15,000 illegal migrants to cross our southern border every day is so they can repad these voter rolls. So then you get more and more people, illegals, on these voter rolls. You're like, well, they're illegal, and this can be adjudicated. Not between the time of the vote, because basically, just using the upcoming election, the election will be November 5th, and they will certify that election basically a month later. There's no time to adjudicate all these. Now, listen, there really is. There really is. I mean, it's just like everything with government where you're dealing with, you know, investigations. I just watched, you know, a Massey where you had A.G. Horowitz testifying on Capitol Hill, and Massey was doing the question. He's like, 4 years later, you have no answers. 4 years. So you're going to trust the same bureaucrats to whether they're local or whether they're federal to adjudicate an election in basically 3 weeks. That's never going to happen. They can't adjudicate 1/6 in 4 years. We have no answers about the Las Vegas shooting to this day. None at all. We have no answers about Maui to this day. How long has it been? We have no answers about Abbey Gate. 2 years ago, Abbey Gate, nothing, no answers at all. We have no answers about the J-16, J-13 Butler shooting. There's no answers about what happened with Thomas Crooks and who this guy actually is. There's no answers. I mean, what's today, Aaron? September 27th?
27th.
27th? Yeah. It happened July 13th. We have no idea what happened. Yeah. No idea whatsoever. So what they do is exactly what I said when we were talking to Harry, was they flood the zone with all these illegal ballots because they don't care. You and I, we always assume people care. They don't care. They're going to flood the zone with fraudulent ballots, and then people like Brad Raffensperger are going to say, you know what, this is the most secure election in history, even though there's no evidence that it's the most secure election in history, and actually all the evidence says otherwise. All the other evidence actually says the exact opposite. But they'll say, you know, there's just no time. Election certified. That's what they do. And by the way, some of the most ardent, conflict in these situations where you're trying to get forensic audits of elections, some of the most ardent resistance comes from Republicans. Because they're not Republicans, because everything that you're hearing from your federal government and a lot of times your state government are bold-faced lies. These are not Republicans. They are approved. They are approved, controlled opposition given to us by the Democratic Party. That's why it never seems to matter who's in charge. We just continue to careen further and further downhill until you get a legitimate outsider like Donald J. Trump elected as president. And then they try to kill him and prosecute him try to kill him twice at least. They try to prosecute him into bankruptcy. They try to sue him into bankruptcy, try to prosecute him into not being able to run, try to remove him from a ballot, all those different things. All right, so let's go back to the border. Yeah, that one's good. Let's go right back to there now so I can just launch from there. Now, the media has insisted for years that migrants, again, Michael Schellenberger tweet, that migrants commit fewer crimes. We've heard that over and over and over again. It's all gaslit propaganda. It's not true. So here, let's look at the statistics here. Again, 20,000 homicides annually in the United States of America, 60% conviction rate, 12,000 homicide convictions per year. We don't know the period of over which the 15,000, now that's the, remember, this is the 15,000 murderers that Kamala Harris has allowed into our country. I don't even know. And Aaron, if you think of anything, let me know. Because I don't know how to illustrate it more. How in the world do you sleep at night? I mean, I remember the liability of being a police officer and having people's lives in your hands. And it was hardcore liability. That's what cops think about more than anything else, by the way. It's not, you know, guns and blazing and car chases. All you think about when you're doing the job is liability. And in different court systems, like I think of, you know, here in Sarasota County, where they don't want to release somebody because they think that person's going to go home and cave their wife's face in. So that, you know, they can't actually keep them in jail because of the liability of releasing that person, but not Kamala Harris. not Alejandro Mayorkas, impeached Alejandro Mayorkas. They just release known murderers and rapists into the country to the tune of 10,000 per year over the last 3.5 years. 30,000 of them. So there's the 15,000. But if we assume, he's doing some correlation here, but it's undeniable, and he's actually being friendly with the numbers. But if we assume that all the 15,000 homicide convictions, that's for the, I'm trying to think of that. I'll just read it. 15,000 homicide convictions occurred over the last 10 or 5 years, that's 1,500 or 3,000 homicide convictions per year. The annual, that's for illegals. The annual U.S. homicide conviction, the annual U.S. homicide conviction rate is 3.6 people per 100,000. The annual non-detained, if you run the numbers from Alejandro, just over the last 3 years of them allowing all of those illegals into the country, the annual non-detained migrant homicide conviction rate, United States conviction rate, 3.6 people per 100,000. The illegal homicide conviction rate is 43 people per 100,000. According to the statistics we're getting out of the CBP, the annual non-detained migrant homicide conviction rate is 21 per 100,000. It doesn't matter really how you compute the numbers from the numbers that we're getting from CBP. We have about 3.6 out of 100,000 people get convicted of homicide. They have 43. And at the low end, 21. That's the best. That's the best that they'll put out. Either, this is the bottom half of that tweet. Either rate is significantly higher than U.S. rate. Moreover, based on these numbers, it is impossible to determine the homicide conviction rates in foreign nations. But there is good reason to believe the homicide conviction rate is lower in many of the nations from where the migrants are coming. As such, it's safe to say that non-detained migrants commit homicides at a significantly higher rate than the United States population. It's all been a lie. It's all been a lie. Everything they're hearing, and you will hear that even after Schellenberger puts out all of this data, the news will still, and the Democratic Party will still espouse that migrants commit far less crimes than United States citizens. It's all bold-faced lies. Basically, they commit crimes at a rate, if you look at 3 to 43 or 3 to 21, we'll take the 21. 7 times higher crime rate than what you and I commit. 7 times is the lower end. The higher end is about 12 times the rate. 12 to 13 times the rate. They commit crimes 7 to 13 times more than you and I. That's the actual data. That's the real thing. That's coming from the 425,000 that they've released across the southern border, knowing that they were convicted rapists and murderers. 30,000 of that 425,000 were convicted rapists and murderers. Convicted. And they knew it when they released them. That's all facts. All right, bumping off of that, but still on the border. Not the B tweet. Good news, everybody. Good news, Aaron. Minneapolis Police Department, Timmy Walz, celebrates the current candidate, nominee for the vice president for the Democratic Party vice presidency. Minneapolis Police Department celebrates hire of first non-citizen, first Somali American woman.
Oh.
Yeah, congratulations. So they're actually hiring to enforce the law, somebody who's not a citizen of the United States of America. And we've also had the Biden administration advocate to also give them Second Amendment rights for non-citizens, for illegal aliens. Now, some of them are non-citizens that are here legally, which I'm hoping that's what this woman is. I'm hoping that's what this woman is. They've already had problems with a Somali immigrant before who shot a 40-year-old woman to death for doing absolutely nothing as a cop. You can pull that case up for yourself if you want to look it up. This same exact police department. They hired a Somali immigrant, and a woman approached his vehicle, and he shot her. That's the whole case. You won't know. There's got to be more. That's the whole case. The person who actually called the Somali officer to the scene, she was approaching his vehicle. The complainant, the caller, the 9/11 caller, was approaching the guy's vehicle. He pulled out his gun and shot her. That worked out real well. Ended up spending only 4 years in prison for gunning down this woman for absolutely nothing. I wonder if that would happen if he was a white police officer. No, he's still be in prison right now. He served 4 years. So here we are, Tim Walz, nominee for vice president of the United States out of the Democratic Party. This is his state. So we know that if Tim Walz gets elected as vice president, this is what our country's going to look like. We're going to have non-citizens patrolling our streets. Non-citizens shouldn't be voting, so they shouldn't be armed and patrolling our streets. All right, go to the next one for me. I'm going to try the best on this name. Anna Garatelli, the Kamala Harris border event, this is it right here, in Douglas, Arizona today, has a seating room for less than 200 people. This is the woman who allegedly has all of this momentum. This is the woman running for president of the United States out of the Democratic Party. Imagine if Trump was there in Douglas, Arizona. And you're going to tell me Kamala Harris has any chance of winning the election, which is why we brought in an election integrity expert, because the only way Donald Trump loses is election fraud or you and I choosing not to go out and vote. It's the only way he loses, because this is the best you can do for the border czar. I mean, if you are the border czar, you should be like celebrated at the border for doing such a great job. But no, they hide her away, take her to a very tacit area of the border where there's absolutely no problems. There's no illegal crossings. They take her to that area, and then they set up this event with 200 chairs. I mean, it looks like some sort of airplane hangar with 200 chairs set up in it. All right, let's go to the next one next. Kathleen Winchell video. Another hard push from Josh Hawley. This is Josh Hawley interviewing the TSA in reference to illegals. Play it for me.
I think for every person watching this hearing who has experienced the TSA screening process, mm-hmm. it can often be very onerous. People who have done absolutely nothing wrong are law-abiding citizens in every respect, are subject to the most invasive screenings at these airports, yet you're allowing illegal aliens to present warrants for arrest and waving them onto airplanes. How does that make sense?
Not doing that, sir. They
You just told me that you've let 1,000 people travel on airlines who present to you warrants for arrest.
Yes,
right?
Sir. And they present those warrants. That warrant is the beginning of an identity verification process, which follows.
Why isn't it the end? Why isn't that the end of the process? And you say, sorry, you have a warrant for an arrest. We're not going to allow you to get on an airplane.
Because we want to identify who was presenting themselves at the screening checkpoint.
Boy, I think you're going to have a hard time explaining to folks who are randomly selected, or sometimes perhaps not so randomly selected for enhanced screenings, but you're allowing illegal aliens with warrants for arrest to get onto airplanes, and you've allowed at least 1,000 of them in this calendar year. I mean, I just find that totally extraordinary.
Mr. Pekoski, thanks for being here. I've got some questions for you. And to be frank with you, I've got some concerns about your record. Let's start with your decision to allow illegal immigrants to use arrest warrants as a form of ID at TSA checkpoints. In response to a congressional inquiry on this, you responded, I'm going to quote you now, TSA established a process where it will accept certain DHS-issued forms for non-citizens and non-U.S. nationals who do not otherwise have acceptable forms of ID for presentation at security checkpoints. And then you went on to list the forms mm-hmm. that TSA would accept that included a warrant for arrest of an alien, a warrant of removal or deportation, the order of release on recognizance, an order of supervision, a notice to appear, an arrival and departure form, which included a printout of an electronic record, or an alien booking record. Now, I wrote to you on January 31st of this year asking you about this. Have you responded to this letter yet?
No, sir, we have not responded, but
I didn't think so.
I will respond tomorrow.
Okay, right after today's hearing. It's amazing how that works.
Well, actually, I saw a response earlier, and it didn't meet.
Do I have the response?
No, you don't, but you'll have it tomorrow.
Right after today's hearing. Maybe we should have more of these hearings. We may get more. Today, this is July, isn't it? I sent it to you in January. That's a very long time to respond to a letter that is 2.5 pages long.
So going back to front on this, just on that last part there. So Josh Hawley sends him a 3-page questionnaire, 3-page memo asking him some questions in January. And the TSA director or TSA person standing in for the director, I'm not sure if he's the director or not. We'll just call him the director because he's the director, the person standing in for the director. The DSA director gets this information request from Senator Josh Hawley out of the state of Missouri in January and doesn't respond to it at all. January, February, March, April, May, June, July. So 7 months later, he hasn't responded to it, and then boldly declares that, don't worry, I'm going to respond to it tomorrow. I mean, this is the state of our government. It absolutely blows my mind that anybody would follow their ridiculous orders. And I'm not talking about breaking laws. Listen, breaking laws like murdering and theft and things like that, those are moral issues. I'm talking about their orders, whether it be stand 6 feet apart, put on a mask, take vaccinations, buy electric vehicles. CO2 is a problem. We're going to confiscate your gun with mandatory buybacks that Kamala Harris wants. They can't even define what an assault rifle is, but want to confiscate them. They can't define what problematic CO2 is, but they want to lower it. Why does anybody listen to these people? He was sent a memo in January and doesn't answer for 7 months and has the audacity to be testifying at the Senate. Don't worry, I'll answer it tomorrow. Unbelievable. And then let's look at it. So in order to get on a flight, TSA, that you and I both know how TSA works. You go there, you have to take your shoes off, you have to go through their invasive searches. They pull people out for full-blown searches, even up to body cavity level searches at different times. They pull people out, even allegedly target people to pull out. They never pull out anybody who actually looks like a suspect. How dare you say that, Tom? That's law enforcement. Profiling is law enforcement. People can claim that we don't profile and the cops don't profile. Profiling is law enforcement. How do you think that serial killers are ever caught? It's profiling. That's what CSA should be doing. There's nothing wrong with profiling. If you hear people, if you see two Arab men standing there talking and one of them says bomb, that's an indicator that you don't need a cavity search, Aaron.
Thank you.
Go ahead and search them. Oh, that's profiling. You're a racist. It's no wonder. It's no wonder we have terrorist activities inside the United States of America. It's no wonder we have atrocities. Everyone's afraid to enforce the law. And I remember in my law enforcement careers that they took away profiling. You're not allowed to profile. There's certain vehicles you watch for on I-75. They meet a profile of somebody who is transporting drugs. They meet a profile. They're usually driving exactly the speed limit. Exactly the speed limit. Late at night, exactly the speed. There's just one of a myriad of attributes that you would look at and say, you know what, myriad of characteristics, and you profile and you try to find a reason to pull the car over. That's illegal now. You're not allowed, civilly illegal. You're not allowed to profile anymore. So you know what cops do? They profile and just don't call it profiling. And so TSA, they make you do that, make you take, you know, everyone has to do that big shuffle before you got on the plane. You're taking off your shoes, you gotta go shove it through on that. They give you those gray trays. And by the way, let me just make an announcement. I don't think I'm gonna make 10-11. Let's make an announcement. But anyway, it's because we had an interview. We had the interview, that's why. But anyway, so you have to get on there, you put it down the rollers, and then occasionally you got some TSA person's got a sand up their underwear, and they're like, sand spur up their underwear, and they're like, we're just gonna, make you empty this out, empty that out, whatever it may be. You got to go through all that. Then you got to go through that body scanner where basically everybody can see you naked. I mean, nobody wants to see me naked, but I guarantee you there's a lot of pervs out there who want to see the women naked, but you still have to walk through there, right? And everybody can see. I mean, you're naked. I'm sorry. They can see everything. You walk through that thing, but not if you're an illegal. Illegal, how do you get on a plane? Well, 1,000 times under the Biden administration, illegals presented their warrant to get on a flight. And the TSA director says it's how we begin our identification process. Shouldn't that be the beginning and the end of the identification process? And how in the world do we ever get to the place where somebody who has a warrant for their arrest is flying? How is that remotely possible? Especially somebody who's already an illegal immigrant, let alone a United States citizen with a warrant. I'm talking about some United States warrants are not extraditable, so you can see how it's possible for people to fly. But anyway, I don't want to get into that. 1,000 times it was presented to TSA personnel, a warrant. A warrant was presented by an illegal alien to a TSA agent as an acceptable form of identification. Or an illegal alien booking record. Shouldn't that be the end of the process? And shouldn't it be that the person wouldn't even dare to enter the process? And shouldn't warrants never be part of the process? Look at where we are. Look at our country. Look at what the Biden administration, the Kamala Harris administration, has done to our country in 3 years and 8 months. We have illegal aliens presenting a warrant as ID to get on flights. Flights! 1,000 times. 425,000 criminals they've allowed in the country, 30,000 of that 425 convicted rapists and murderers. I wonder if the rapist and murderer comes up with this rape warrant. I mean, you talk about asinine idiocy. What? I don't even know what to say. How is this? How is a warrant for your arrest valid ID to get on a flight? Let alone, how is a warrant for arrest of an illegal border invader, somebody who crossed our borders illegally, valid ID to get on a flight? But that's where we're at. That's exactly where we're at. An absolute sad, sad state of affairs. Got to watch this video, muttraker.com video. We found Biden-Harris administration's missing children first. Play for me, Ness.
They have all of the kids wearing masks, and they have them keeping their head down. They're telling them to hide their face. Many of these kids go missing.
I've even had a little friend. I can't remember her name, but she said she didn't know where she would go.
And MVM is an organization that has moved out of the
city.
You do not work for MVM?
I'm on vacation.
You said that you were on vacation, and now you're moving this small child to the airport. I thought you were on vacation. Do you have any comment about the children that have gone missing that you've helped to escort across the country?
Two children were delivered to a sponsor that lives at this address. But as you can see, nobody lives here, and honestly, it doesn't look like anybody's lived here in quite a long time.
There's kids in the car here. They're moving these kids. They just turned the lights off.
We owe a debt of $10,000 for me and another $10,000 for my brother.
That van that we just confronted, they are now taking off. We are following them. This van is now trying to lose us. They're driving through this neighborhood that's headed absolutely nowhere.
Are a lot of the kids coming over here, are they trafficked or like, what's the...
Some are. I'm not gonna lie. Some are.
She cried because she didn't know what they would do with her. We went to sleep, and in the morning, when I got up, she was gone.
Since 2021, an average of 400 unaccompanied children are smuggled into the United States every day. These children, who cross into the United States without parents, are subsequently detained, processed by the federal government's unaccompanied children program, and eventually released into the country. On August 19, 2024, the Department of Homeland Security announced that they had lost track of over 300,000 of these children. In June of 2024, a government insider from the Department of Health and Human Services provided Muckraker with a list detailing the names of over 8,000 alien children, along with their last known addresses. So, we began an operation to find the missing children ourselves. Over the course of our investigation, we discovered the dangerous places where children had been delivered, confronted a CIA contractor who moves these children, heard shocking stories from children who the federal government has lost track of, and exposed a child trafficking network in Florida. This report brings to light the fate of the forgotten children who have fallen victim to the criminal negligence of the United States federal government. Children who enter the United States illegally and without parents are subsequently detained and placed in holding camps, while the Office of Refugee Resettlement works to find the child a permanent home through their unaccompanied children program.
The largest child sex trafficking cartel on the planet is the Biden administration, where they send billions and tens of billions. Look at this. These are the NGOs, Catholic Charities, Jewish Charities in the Darien Gap. That one there in Texas, that's a processing center. There's many down in the Darien Gap to keep everybody happy and healthy like cattle so that they can be sex trafficked into the United States of America. Listen, can you imagine? And of course, it doesn't, Muckraker exposes, so you don't need to imagine it. But can you actually imagine, or can you conceptually think about that we have our own government walking around airports having kids hide their faces and loading them in vans? Why isn't it all out in the open? What's there to hide? I mean, if this is some glorious thing, why is it clandestine? Why are these kids walking around as if they're criminals? And the people that are transporting them, i.e. trafficking them, why are they acting like criminals? I mean, look at this. This is the United States of America. Why are any of these people coming across our border anyway when we already allow in 1 to 4 million legal immigrants per year? No, Tom, it's 1 million. No, it's chain migration. So for every one, there's at least two and up to eight. So chain migration, we allow in 4 million per year anyway, legally. And am I in favor of that? No, I'm not in favor of chain migration. But those people are going through the legal processes. So I don't have a problem with them. We need to change the laws, not allow chain migration. But other than that, but look at our country. Do we not look like we're not, you know, Nazi Germany with concentration camps? 325,000 of those kids. So you have muckrakers showing how clandestine these operations are, how suspicious these operations are, how dark these operations are, with many testimonies. Go to Muckraker and watch that entire video. You want to talk about dark, nasty, criminal activity? Go watch that entire video. It's absolutely shocking. But anyway, for me, again, I just go back to the verse that I use all the time. For everyone practicing evil, hates light, does not come to light, lest their deeds be exposed. John chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus speaking. So why are they hiding it? Because our government is sex trafficking children. They know it. They're paying for it. Catholic Charities knows that they're doing it. Jewish charities know that they're doing it. You're attacking Jews? You're attacking Catholics? No, I'm just attacking those organizations because that's what they're doing, and they know that they're doing it, and they get billions of dollars that they end up donating back to Democrats. Hundreds, they get billions, and then they donate hundreds of millions back to Democrats in what we call the endless circle bleep symbiote. All right, let's skip ahead. Let's do some fun stuff here. For me, it's fun stuff anyway. All right, we're going to skip ahead and ask to a man of memes this huge bombshell about Kamala. It's about four slides up from where we're at right now. You got it? All right, here we go. Cool. All right, Candace Owens, this is the story we talked about. That she's uncovering the story we talked about a couple days ago. Amanda Memes video, this is a huge bombshell about Kamala. Play it for me.
Okay, this Kamala Harris story is getting crazy, and it's getting creepy. But last night, we decided to continue our research to see if we could find birth certificates and marriage certificates and death certificates, which could further signify those points, and indeed it did. As speculated, we were able to confirm that Kamala's black grandmother that she showed us in that picture died in 1960, before Kamala was born. I can show you right now her death certificate. As you can see there, it says that she died in July of 1960. And so this is a huge scandal, just an absolutely huge scandal. Kamala Harris published in her book that she was standing next to her Grandma Beryl, but Grandma Beryl died in 1960, 4 years before Kamala Harris was born.
All right, so there we go. So Kamala Harris puts in her book a picture of herself. Right, it is right there. Aaron, cut it up for me in 2 seconds. She puts that in her book, says, I'm standing next to my grandma. It's right there, standing next to my paternal grandmother, Beryl. Kamala Harris, in that picture, as I say, between 20 and 25 years of age. Her grandma, Beryl, died 4 years before Kamala was born. It's now been proven that her paternal grandmother, Beryl Harris, died 4 years before Kamala Harris was born. And Kamala Harris puts a picture in her book saying that she's standing next to her grandmother, Beryl Harris, who died 4 years prior to her birth. These are who these people are. Go to the next one for me, Naz. Steve 2A video. Kamala Harris caught using actors pretending to be ex-Trump supporters. It's nothing but fraud. Play it for me.
Now, Kamala Harris and Tim Walz have been accused of deliberate misinformation. They've released a political ad that claims to depict two former Trump voters who live in Pennsylvania and who have switched to Team Kamala after the horrors of January 6th. But this pair of farmers shown in the ad appear to, in fact, be two actors, Robert Lang and Christina Chadwick, and they have an extensive history of donating to the Democrats and leftist causes dating back to at least 2016. For a party that talks endlessly about the dangers of disinformation and misinformation, they engage in plenty of it.
Yeah, so this is great investigative journalism by the journalists that went and found that out. I think it's another illustration of just what is a very synthetic campaign and a very synthetic candidate, where everything is manufactured from her anointment after Biden was pushed out to just the way the campaign is being run and very limited media, as we just discussed, and then creating sort of these narratives or almost fictional narratives of these two Trump supporters who turned supposedly in this case, and it turns out they're Democrat actors. You can't make this stuff up, and it's pretty brazen. But the question, of course, is will these antics make it into the mainstream or not, with a media that's very favorable to her? But to the extent that it does, I do think things like this are damaging, because it just goes to that point that she's not a very authentic candidate.
Oh, this is Trump using actors portraying themselves as Democrats that turn to being pro-Trump, or vote Democrats saying they're going to vote for Trump. You see these all the time if you do what I do, if you have no life like I do, and you go go to left-wing sites. When I say left-wing sites, I mean left-wing pages, left-wing Twitter accounts, and you watch them. They'll put out endless videos of, this is John Wilson, lifelong Republican who voted for Trump in 2016, and now he's in 2020, but he's had enough, and now he's voting for Kamala Harris. Who would go from Trump to Kamala? Who? What are you gonna? You're now going to be pro-choice to the moment of death? You're pro-baby butchering now up to the moment of birth? You're now pro-communist and pro-socialist and pro-open borders? Before, 4 years ago, you were pro-life at the moment of conception, and now you are pro-death to the moment of birth or even after birth. Because what would cause that transformation? You were a staunch conservative federalist capitalist, and now you're a communist socialist in 4 years? So now we know how these transformations come about. They are what everything else is: fraud, lies. Kamala Harris is nothing but an absolute pathological liar. How in the world do you think you're going to get away with it? It's just like Joe Biden. And I know I've said this a million times, but it's just like Joe Biden saying that he was raised in the Jewish community. He was raised in the Puerto Rican community. He was raised in the Black community. He was raised in the Polish community, where he had a last name of Bidenski. He said that, not me. He said that. Said that he was going to go to the Naval Academy. He was appointed to the Naval Academy, but he decided to turn it down because Roger Staubach was quarterback there, and he didn't think he could compete with Roger Staubach for the quarterback position. Joe Biden was never accepted to the Naval Academy. These people not understand that there's records? There's records at McDonald's, Kamala. Kamala's only 3-4 years older than me. McDonald's keeps records. All these colleges keep records for centuries. I mean, McDonald's, I don't know when it was founded, but it's been keeping records from day one. There is no evidence of her ever working at McDonald's. Not one person. Don't you think the fellow employees would come forth? They would, wouldn't you know? Like, I'm trying to think of somebody who's my age that I could have potentially worked with, who's a politician right now. Someone like Rand Paul or whatever. Someone in my age category. Oh, yeah, I remember working at McDonald's with Rand. I would remember that. I mean, these people, they have to assume that the American public is willing to just swallow galactic amounts of asinine idiocy. I mean, if you worked at a McDonald's with Trump, would you not remember it? I mean, you would know that, you know what, I'm working. I mean, Willie Brown remembers Kamala. Right? I mean, you know, I mean, Montel Williams remembers Kamala.
Unforgettable.
Yeah, I mean, they remember Kamala. I mean, you would know right now, if you were a 17-year-old, and you worked with Kamala Harris, who is now, as sad as it is, the presidential nominee for the Democratic Party. Right? You would remember. I worked with her. I remember everybody. If it was a big name, I would remember him. I played college football at the University of Central Florida. I remember the guys that I played against that played in the NFL. I played against hundreds and hundreds of football players. So there's no record of her at all ever. I mean, do these people not realize this can all be researched? Imagine if we had a legitimate media, and Trump had been using actors to say that they are turning from Kamala Harris supporters into Donald Trump supporters, and he got caught, somehow they'd criminally charge him for it. He'd be being investigated today by the FBI, by the CIA, by the ATF, by local jurisdictions. Tanya Shutkin would issue a warrant for his arrest. Jack Smith would be on prosecution number 3. If Donald Trump actually used actors to portray themselves as Trump supporters who used to be Kamala supporters. I could spend all night on it, but that's who these people are. I mean, and there's plenty of Republicans that are pseudo the same way, but there are no Republicans that are as bad as that. None. What is that? What is, I mean, again, they did this during COVID. You're sitting here, you're watching these videos of these hospital rooms full of COVID patients, and one gets up and starts smoking a cigarette. They got dead bodies on the ground, and one pulls the body bag back and starts smoking a cigarette. Remember all those? It's all lies. And all the Christians and all the conservatives buy into it for a certain amount of time, and then they go, man, you know, that was all lies. And then none of them ever say they're wrong. It's amazing to me. Got to show you that. Speaking of being wrong, look at this one. Dr. Simone Gold tweet. Everything that you and I, 806 people that are watching right now, everything you and I said was correct. Everything that was espoused by the federal government, that was dictated to us, that was mandated to us during COVID was absolutely wrong. Breaking, Gilead Sciences. Now, who do they have a financial partnership with? Let me see. Oh, Anthony Fauci. That's right. Gilead Sciences has announced a recall of its antiviral drug. Remdesivir has now been recalled. Just remember this now. Prior to this recall, which, I don't have the date on it. This is from the last show. So from yesterday, the day before. So prior to, let's give it a big grace period here. Let's just say prior to Wednesday, the only government approved, the only acceptable by the medical community treatment for COVID inside of a hospital was the drug that's now been recalled. It's just like Nathan Wade is now on the run. You know, everything's a fraud. It's all a fraud. The only accepted hospital protocol treatment for COVID-19 has now been recalled. Remdesivir has a 53% mortality rate, and Anthony Fauci was telling everybody to take it for COVID. That's his clinical trials. His clinical trials, of course, conducted in Africa, killed 53% of the people that took remdesivir, causing organ failure. You're wondering how, have you ever noticed that nobody died of COVID in their home? Aaron, you notice that? Mm-hmm. Nobody died of COVID in their home. Where were the, the body snatcher, we used to call them that, law enforcement, it's a little bit indelicate, but, you know, where were the refrigerator trucks? Where were the, I don't know what to call them, body, the hearse, whatever you want to call them, body trucks, coming to pick up all the dead bodies of people who died of COVID in their homes? Where did everybody die of COVID? In the hospital after being treated with remdesivir. I had a friend of mine named Charlie killed with remdesivir. Went in the hospital for a kidney stone and died of organ failure. How do you die of organ failure from a kidney stone? Because he went in there, they jammed PCR test, 97% false positive, up his nose, and then started treating him for COVID with remdesivir. Why did we have nobody being picked? Why didn't we have body snatcher trucks going all over the country picking up dead bodies? Why were the bodies outside? Why were all the dead bodies coming out of hospitals? I mean, imagine having a 53% mortality rate in your clinical trials, and you're Anthony Fauci, and you push for remdesivir to be the sole hospital treatment for COVID-19, the sole approved hospital protocol for COVID-19, when he knows that it has a 53% mortality rate. This is the same medication they forced on us while preventing us from using hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. Show the big pic. This is from Newsweek, so you know it's not just right-wing conservatives. COVID treatment recall issue after glass was found in the drug. I think that might cause mass organ failure when you actually inject glass. They want to talk about calling us a bunch of cultists saying that we want to inject bleach, which Trump never said, just like he never said thing about Charlottesville. They always claim that Trump says things that he never says and then gaslight it over and over again. And then you end up with all these idiot Democrats. It's like a mantra, Charlottesville, inject bleach, none of which was ever said by Donald Trump. So it's a little bit of a problem when glass is in the sole approved protocol for the treatment of COVID-19 while somebody's hospitalized. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. Oh, it's 10:23. All right, that's it. I got more, but anyway. The Rumble Rants, appreciate you guys. D9597, $50. Nitsal, $99, $40. Thank you, guys. Huge gifts tonight. Thank you. Tammy L. Margaret, $20. Thank you. Fedora the Explorer, $20. Thank you. The one and only Nude Monk, $19. He likes to do his own thing with numbers. What do you think, Aaron? Rifadota? What do you think?
Rifadota?
Rifadota, $10. Thank you so much. Sorry if we butchered your name. Love you guys. Really do appreciate you. Enjoy your weekend. One final thing. Trying to pop 700 at church on Sunday, online attendance at church on Sunday. Highest we've gotten is somewhere in the high sixes at some point. Trying to pop 7, got 623 last week. Listen, love Trump, love being a right winger, but that doesn't get you into heaven. There's only one thing that will get you into heaven, and that is forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ. You got to be a Christian. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. Listen, most churches stink. Most churches are COVID caving, spineless little lukewarm worms. They are. That's what they all prove themselves. Over the last 4.5 years, 15 days to flatten the curve, we at Foundation Church never closed, never will, never masked, never stood 6 feet apart. Nothing. Not one mitigation. Nothing. I'm full-fledged hugging, smashed in together the whole time, even while people were threatening us. Even when there was online, I don't know what you call them, groups, whatever you call them, dedicated to our demise.
Yeah.
TV stations showing up and planting themselves in our parking lot on Easter of 2020. When we just filled out that place. We never closed, never will. Listen, you've got to have Jesus. Trump is not our savior. He's a great president. He's going to be a great president, but he's not our savior. Join us in church, hellfire and brimstone, but also the promises of God. You can tell I hold nothing back. I don't hold one thing back, either in politics or from the Bible. So join us on Sunday. I always think that today is Saturday because we did Saturday podcast. So not tomorrow. Enjoy your Saturday, but join us on Foundation Church. Aaron will start playing somewhere around 10, 15, 10, 20, somewhere in there. I'll start preaching around 11. So join with us. You see Aaron play and sing and everything else, and then I'll start preaching somewhere around 11. Love you guys. I'll be in the chat during the post game. Closing out with our music video tonight. I'm not going to even give you a hint what it is. I'm not going to give you a hint what it is. Got a music video to close it out for the night. I loved it. Give me a little shivers up my spine when I watched it today. Before I send it in to Aaron. But anyway, love you guys. I'll be in the chat during the post game. Stick around for it. It's somewhat of a short post game. It's 7-8 minutes long, something like that. Some great stuff in it. I love this post game. So stick around for it. Love you guys so much. I'll be in the chat during the post game, and I'll see you Sunday morning. I'll be saying hi to you from the pulpit. There'll be about 700-800 people live at the church, and I'll be saying hi to you guys online. Love you. Talk to you in the chat. God bless you. See you Sunday morning. Most Christians, though, don't pass the test. And instead, they become controlled opposition for the devil. They just change their theology. And didn't pass the test, but you know what? God's just all about being in the midst of our struggles. That's not a Bible verse. It's not a Bible verse. God wants you to, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, not ever struggle. If you do these things, you will never struggle. Those things are really the four essentials: prayer, Bible study, worship, fellowship. Well, I tried that. Yeah, you tried it for a day, you tried it for a week, tried it for a month, maybe even tried it for a year. But you gave the devil 50 years and you gave God 50 minutes. I'm telling you right now, if you prayed and studied the word every day, you would never, ever struggle in your walk with God.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lively podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.